and good afternoon once again. I am Rob Kupek filling in for Tyler Axness. We are rolling along on a Friday on a short show. We got hockey, UND hockey coming up at 3:30. So you don't get that much of me. So that's it. And that's all right because, you know, maybe you don't want all the dad jokes that I brought with me. There won't even be enough time to get through all of them. So, Eric, I do have one quick question here for you.
Uh-huh.
Do you know, what is the best thing about the country of Switzerland?
I don't know. What is the best thing?
I don't know either, but the flag is a big plus.
You gotta have a little international flag
there you go,
knowledge
a little
for
international
that one
flag to hit. Fun That's here. Good. So there we go. There's your dad joke for this segment, and we'll continue to roll with that. Right now, I am very happy and honored to be joined by Senate Majority Leader Erin Murphy, who just took over that role just before this session started. I think that Senator Murphy, of any of my colleagues, has probably been to my district more than anybody else. So that is a very nice plus, I think, when the majority leader is also a frequent visitor to your district. And I will also say that Erin Murphy also has the unique perspective of also being a majority leader in the House of Representatives. Not many people, if any, have done majority leader in both bodies. So, Senator Murphy, welcome. How are you this afternoon?
I am so happy to join you, Senator Kupek, Rob Kupek. It is great to hear your voice and great to join you on the radio.
Sure. So do you know, is there anybody else in Minnesota that has been a leader in both bodies?
So I think our colleague, Senator Steve Swazinski, has done a little digging on this question, and he has shared with me that I would be the first in the category of a person who has served as the majority leader in both bodies. I will confess I did not do that research myself, so I'm banking on Senator Swazinski.
Very good. And Senator Swazinski, also a former teacher and also a proud member of the Dad Joke Caucus in the Minnesota State Senate. So always glad to have his insight. So with that, let's just start out. What, in terms of the two bodies are different. They have a little bit of a different culture. And it's not that you are new to the Senate. You've obviously been there for a little bit. For you, and I know every session is different, but what do you think the differences are like in terms of managing? Obviously, there are more members in the House than there are in the Senate, but what do you think the differences are like managing in one body compared to the other body and just kind of the culture of the two bodies?
I love this question so much, and it's taken me some time to sort of sort through what are the differences, because when I came to the Minnesota Senate from the House, it definitely felt like a different body. One of the big factors I think that makes this body, the Senate, different from the House is the fact that the House is up for election every 2 years, the Senate every 4 years. And what that means in the House is that people get elected, they work hard for 2 years, they go back to the people again and ask for their vote if they're running for reelection. That means that the people serving in the House are persistently going back to the people, so they feel more not in touch with Minnesotans, but they feel like the body that is a better reflection of the current mood of the people, because they're out at the doors and talking with people on a regular basis through every election cycle. Now, that isn't to say there aren't senators that do the same, and I know, Senator Kupek, that you are a vigorous connector with the people. And I know that for me, the power of the office that I serve in is held by the people, so I, too, like to spend my time talking with Minnesotans, which is why I try to get up to your neck of the woods as often as I do. But the turnover in the House, election to election, is much more significant than what we experience in the Senate. And so that change of who's there, the change of who's in the majority, I think creates a nimbleness in that body, and it creates a freshness to that body. And we experience that in the Senate, even though it's not happening in our chamber. I think that's the biggest difference, really, between the two. Our work is the same. Many of our issues are the same. There just aren't as many of us in the Minnesota Senate. So our workload is different than it is in the House. But we work most often collaboratively with the other body in order to get the work of the people done. And in both the House and the Senate, in our experience together, Rob Kupek, the work of the people and improving their lives is the North Star of our work. And I see that in both bodies. So it is, it's a different body, but that is the biggest difference from my perspective.
That I appreciate that. And maybe only because I have a very big Senate bias. I'm just going to say, I like the little bit of the decorum in the Senate a little bit more than the House. I don't know. There's a little more pomp and circumstance. That's a ton of it in the Senate, but,
yeah.
I don't know. It just feels, it does have a different feel when you're on the floor of either one. We are both doing the good work. So that is true. So speaking of the good work, I want to transition here a little bit. So something that, I have worked on during the interim session, which was our rural EMS problem. There's also an EMS problem in urban areas too. It's not just certainly a rural area. But I know that you have also kind of stepped into this now as majority leader. And I know this is one of the big things that we're working on this session. So just kind of would like to get your perspective on where you think we're heading on this and identifying some of the problems here.
So often it is the case that the issues that we think we're going to work on in the session are altered by the emergence of something that, becomes clear that it needs our attention. And this issue of emergency medical services across the state is clearly that issue. And while we did $300 million in public safety aid to communities across the state, and that money was used in so many ways, it really wasn't until we got through last session's budget did we start to hear from communities saying, we really appreciated that public service aid, that public safety aid, but here's another issue that is emerging for us that we've got to pay attention to. And so late in the fall, the leadership of both the House and the Senate impaneled a group of members, including Senator Seeberger, who's a paramedic, Representative Backer, who's a paramedic, and other members from different parts of the state to come together to take a look at both the policy and solutions, including what could we do with some funding to begin to address this issue of EMS and EMS shortages and an EMS problem in different parts of the state. I have a friend whose dad was a volunteer paramedic firefighter, volunteer firefighter in Tower, Minnesota, where they rely on volunteers to do that important work. I had an experience with another person that I knew in Morrison County a year ago whose brother was critically ill and in the community hospital in Little Falls, but he needed to be transferred to a regional center in Duluth. And there wasn't an ambulance, a ground ambulance, to do that. And so they wanted to transfer him by air ambulance or helicopter, and it was going to cost that family $18,000. And my friend called me to say, I don't know what to do. Like, my brother needs to go, but we don't have the money to do that. I think it's just one example of the problems people face in different parts of the state of Minnesota. So I have been really, really impressed with the bipartisan work happening across the state to find both policy and funding solutions that begin to address this problem. And, this is not our budget year. We've got some supplemental budget work that we're doing. And so I think it is going to be the case that we're going to spend some money and do some policy reform to begin to address this problem. But it's going to take more than this year to actually solve it for the people of Minnesota, so they know if they or their family members are hurt in an accident, whether it's a farm accident or a car accident or somebody has a heart attack, that they can get the emergency care that they need and get to the place that can provide them their care. That's a fundamental value here in Minnesota.
Absolutely. And hopefully, too, maybe our federal friends will help with the reimbursement rates, because that would also take care for the Medicare and Medicaid reimbursement rates, would also take care a lot on the financial side. All right, we got to take a quick break. And then I'm going to bring you back after the break. We'll ask a few more questions here. But you are listening. And if you've got a question, let me tell you also this. You can text us at 35270 or call 237-5948. This is KFGO 790. Back in just a few minutes. We're back. I'm Rob Kupek filling in for Tyler Axness. And as usual, we will start this next segment with another dad joke here. So here, maybe I will ask. We are also on the line with Senate Majority Leader Aaron Murphy. So, Senator Murphy, what did the janitor say when he jumped out of the closet?
I'm so glad to see you.
He know. Supplies.
That's a good one.
That's all right. That's all right. That's up there. That's a good one. I love the ones that you can, you know, good clean joke you can tell the kids. So there you go. let's stay on the healthcare track here for a few minutes because I have a bill that deals with hospital closures, particularly this has been a big problem in rural Minnesota. It's not just also another one that is just a rural issue, but what it would do is basically, you know, stretch out a little bit that timeline of for how long before they can close a hospital down or a function of a hospital like a birthing center, and then also make sure that that community where that facility is closing is engaged. And so it kind of specifies a few more things that they need to do to make sure they are engaging in that. And I know this is something that you have also been fairly passionate on. Your background is as a nurse before you were ever into politics. So you know, why for Minnesotans is this important, and why is this the work we should be doing?
Rob Kupek, I'm so glad that you're working on this legislation. It's really important for our communities. You know, I didn't grow up in Minnesota. I was born in a little town in Wisconsin, Columbus, Wisconsin. It's about 4,000 people. It has a community hospital. A hospital, a school, a grain elevator, a grocery store. There are certain things that we look for in communities where we want to live. And hospitals, I think, and hospital systems are making decisions sometimes out of the public's view and without public input about the closure of units like labor and delivery, like we saw in Boston and up on the North Shore, or just closing facilities wholesale. And that creates real problems for communities, especially people who are using those hospitals, whether it's the place that they work or where their family members are getting care. From my perspective, if we're going to change the way services are being delivered, the public should have a chance to know that, to react to that. And the hospitals should be forthcoming. And if they're not, I think they should pay a penalty. That service of a hospital, the care delivery that happens there, what it means for communities, for the people who live there, both for their jobs and their health, it's really important. So the legislation that you're carrying, because we are seeing closures and the movement of wholesale lines of care. Just recently, again, we saw two metro hospitals in the North Metro area closing down intensive care units and moving those services elsewhere. We're seeing that happen with mental health care, inpatient mental health care, and moving those services away from communities. That causes ripple effects for people and for families and for care. I think the legislation that you're leading on is really important.
Yeah, me, I do too, and I'm. It's also got, you know, kind of an option in there too, that if someplace is closing or closing a wing down, that it gives, maybe that city or municipality, county, to step in, and if they want to try to take over it or find somebody else who they think would be, you know, a good fit for that community, to come in and take it over, so that they are not left just kind of high and dry without those services. So we got about a minute and a half left. I did hear the governor midday today say he thought maybe we were close to some budget targets. It's not a budget year, but we do have a few things we're gonna maybe spend a little money on this year. Are we close to budget targets?
So, you know, the governor was on the radio and said it could happen any day.
Yeah, he said it could happen this afternoon, so I don't know.
That's right. Well,
here I am on the phone with you.
Right.
it is an important part of our work. All kidding aside. No. It's an important part of our work. And, you know, together we did like transformational. We just do really important budget work and set a budget that's, of course, balanced, as is our constitutional obligation. So I want to make sure that we are meeting Minnesotans' needs as we think about a supplemental budget. And yes, we've been working hard to identify targets, and I would anticipate we'll have those soon.
Sure. Just wondering what, you know, what we're going to be, what I'll be working on next week. So you never know.
Yeah.
All right. Well, thank you so much, Senator Murphy, for taking a few minutes out. As always, it is good to talk to you. And it is always nice when you come up to visit again. So I look forward to the next time you are up here. So
me too.
And hopefully, you know, all our members get back safe on Monday through the snow. So
I agree.
All right. Well, take care. I will see you around the halls of the Capitol on Monday. Have a great weekend.
You